I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. If you'll open your Bible to the book of Proverbs, we'll begin with Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. The fourth chapter of Proverbs, the first verse. Most people are unaware of the destiny of their decisions. They don't think. Most people do not think about where decisions lead them. Amen. And then they find themselves where they thought they would never be. We must allow the Lord to lead us and guide us in our decision making. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark one word, if you would please. In this fourth chapter, is in the third verse. It is one word. It's the word tender. Tender. God teaches us in His Word that to everything there is a season. In life, there's a tender season, a soft season, not weak, but unfolded, uncreased, a tender time in life. Most of that we attribute to childhood. And I believe that's what we're dealing with here, the youth and childhood. Again, Solomon, who pens these proverbs, says in verse 3 of chapter 4, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." And I'd like you to write this down. Teaching wisdom in the tender years of life. Teaching wisdom in the tender years of life. Someone is going to teach your children. Either you decide you're going to do it and oversee all that others do as best you can, or you're going to leave them to the wolves of the world. That decision has to be made. Now, I don't mean by that we try to control every moment of their lives. Not the thing to do. Not the thing to do. But I do mean by that we trust God with them and we do what God has given us to do with them. No doubt about that. If you notice, if you'll turn back to Proverbs chapter 1, the Lord gives us 10 things that we're going to learn from the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And you could mark them. Wisdom, instruction, perception, or to perceive, to receive, Number 5, justice. Number 6, judgment. Number 7, equity. Number 8, subtlety. Number 9, knowledge. And number 10, discretion. I want you to remember, discretion. Now we'll come back to this earlier part in just a moment, but look at chapter 4 again. And the Bible says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." One of my favorite characters in English history is a prime minister named Gladstone. He was a Christian, a dedicated man who loved the Lord, wrote a wonderful book about the Bible. And on one occasion, perhaps more than one occasion, he said to Parliament, "With all the problems we have to solve in our nation, we will never solve them until we solve the problem of the home in our nation." Someone once asked him, "Why do you have such strength to do what you're doing?" And he replied simply, "Because I have a happy home." Think of that. Because I have a happy home. This may sound strange to you, but the home that the Bible describes and instructs us to have is disappearing from the face of the earth. That home is disappearing. And we must fight for it. You say, "Well, adjustments have to be made." From time to time, they do. I was raised in a home that was stricken by divorce of parents, and my mother had the responsibility of raising 4 children of her own. I know some of the hardships of that. A mother trying to be mother and father, and then the oldest son, I am, trying to be father to younger siblings. And there's some awkward things in all of that, some very awkward things. But I'm saying the pattern God gives us in the Bible for the home, for the Christian home, based on the Word of God, following after the Lord, is disappearing from the face of the earth. Now, if people are going to ever get it, they're going to have to see it in the lives and home life of people who truly know the Lord and follow His Word. That's the only way they're going to get it. There's no other way to get it. And we can talk about it being in the Bible, but someone has to internalize what's in the Bible and live it on a daily basis in their home. I always like to add to something like I'm saying that I know the example given to us in Scripture. I just wish I were a better example of all of it. I don't want you to think that my wife and I have been perfect parents. We have not. Our children are here and they can testify to that. Our grandchildren, they can testify to that. But we know the perfect pattern. We understand that. Now, God says that we are to teach wisdom in the tender years of life. That season comes and goes and may be gone forever because that life, once young and tender, becomes creased and hardened by the world. Notice where God begins with this. "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father." A father. We have just about passed off everything into the hands of mothers. You know, you mothers, and what a load you carry, what you're dealing with. But God places the responsibility on the father. "And attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." I'm sure most everyone knows that the father of Solomon, the human penman for these Proverbs, was none other than King David, the shepherd king, David. The Bible says of David that he became a man after God's own heart. And the one thing he wanted for his son Solomon, who was to become the next king of Israel, was that Solomon be a wise man, a wise man. "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." Think of this. I think this ought to help all of us who are a little too puffed up. His mother was Bathsheba. And evidently, God gave her a wonderful opportunity to begin again in the life of her son Solomon. We need to get our feet off the throat of people who have had great failure. You may speak of it to help people, to encourage people, but we need to get our foot off the throat of people who have failed and do all we can to encourage them to get up and make something out of their lives by the grace of God. That's difficult to do, but it's our divine assignment. No doubt about it. Assigned to us by the Lord. He says of his father, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Now notice he says, I'm giving my son words. Solomon says of his father, he gave me words. And he said, the true words he gave me, he instructed me to retain them. A father to a son, so a son could speak to others. He also said, as he kept these words, he gave commandments. Keep my commandments. This is a day and hour when people have such rebellion in their heart. It's a day when we see so much of everybody doing what's right in their own eyes. We don't want to command anything. But we understand from Scripture that there are clear commands. I wish we had more time to talk about this. If someone reminds me someday, we will. But the commands of God are crystal clear. The standards and the precepts that we draw from those commands are not always as clear. For instance, God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's clear, isn't it? And we know what adultery is, and we understand that's a clear command. But then when we start trying to make a standard of that and a precept of that for dress or behavior or lewdness, different people draw the line in different places. And the further we move from the command, in every good attempt to try to follow what God says, we may become a little overbearing in one area or the other. But at least we know what we're trying to say. We say to our young people and to our friends and to those we love, God says that this kind of behavior is forbidden before marriage. Now, if you're not going to engage in it before marriage, there should be a certain appearance that is filled with modesty and identity. And we begin to talk about those kind of things in the Christian life. Is there any difference between the way a Christian should live and speak and behave his or her life and the way an unbeliever lives and speaks and behaves his or her life? And the answer, whether you say it or not, is yes. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So if you're taking all of your pointers from an unbelieving world and following and saying, I'm just doing a little better than they're doing, and I'm going to make sure I stay that way, the truth of the matter is the Christian life is not a little better than the unsaved. It's completely different. We're indwelt by the Lord. And the Christian life is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, as you say, enough of that. Let's move on. But he says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. You see, we need wisdom to be able to handle knowledge. We need wisdom. We say we live in the most knowledgeable time in human history as far as people knowing things. I'm always amazed at the access we have. You can pull out your phone and ask what's her name on the phone here. Whatever, you know. Why is the sky blue?
Okay, I found this.
Why is the sky blue? And she deals with the atmosphere. I mean, whatever, you know, it's at our fingertips, isn't it? Is it at our fingertips?
I mean, whatever you...
It's like most people, they don't know when to stop talking. But we must have the wisdom to use all this accumulation of knowledge. If we don't have the wisdom, Then we're going to say foolish things like, you know, I've had all kinds of experiences. I know I'm exposed to more. I've been more places. Wait a minute. But what have you done with it, what you know? How have you used what you know? God says your children have a season of tenderness, and in that season of tenderness, they're to be taught wisdom. And if we miss that season, we may never get that opportunity again. Now, I know many people say, well, I've already missed it. I've failed. Pray that God gives you another opportunity. Because the Spirit of God can tender the heart of someone to be receptive, to receive something that they should have received long ago. And here's what happens. When they get wisdom, notice what wisdom is. Wisdom is a preserver. Write that down, would you please? Is a preserver. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. So wisdom is a preserver. We want for those we love to be from harm, to stay away from evil. We want them to make right decisions. The last thing we want them to do is to waste their lives. And we're living in a wasted life generation. Many people are honestly nearly ruined before they get into early adulthood. Because all of everything against God is screaming at them to engage in it. People, young people and children need to be ready to face all of that and to be preserved from it and through it when all the temptation's coming. And God says that wisdom is a preserver. Let's look quickly here in Proverbs chapter 2. Just begin with me following along at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth, verse 8, chapter 2, the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, notice please, discretion shall preserve thee. What is discretion? It's one of the 10 things we're going to find in the book of Proverbs taught to us. Discretion is knowing what to do and when to do it. That's discretion. You know, I sleep in certain clothes I wouldn't come to church in because of propriety and discretion. As a matter of fact, I sleep in very comfortable clothes when I'm in bed. But I wouldn't wear those same clothes here. And this is not a clothing message. It's easy to use clothing as an example of things. But I have discretion about things. And we'd have discretion about things. You may talk about things with a personal friend that are intimate or a family member, things that need to be discussed. But because of discretion, if you're a wise person, because of discretion, you would not deal with those same personal, private things to just anyone or everyone. Why? Because wisdom gives you discretion. And the Bible says very plainly, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. We are watching a generation that's living without the wisdom of God and without discretion and propriety. And who's to blame? Stop waving your pointing finger at this generation and wonder why Christian fathers and Christian homes and churches have not done what they ought to do. So you say, people don't want to hear all that stuff. So let's give them what they want. So let's entertain them. Let's throw it all out there for them, and at least they feel good while they're here. That's like eating ice cream every day until you die sooner than later, because you get no nourishment. God says there's a tender time in life to teach wisdom, and wisdom is a preserver. Notice what else it is. Look, please, in Proverbs chapter 4. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the principal thing, nothing before it. You can accumulate everything you could ever imagine having in this world and find out if it's riches, businesses, whatever. You can accumulate everything anyone could ever imagine having in this world and find out if you don't have wisdom, all you've accumulated amounts to nothing. Nothing. I know a lot of prestigious people, at least by name, and I understand things about what they own and have and possess, but they have no time for God, no time for the things of God. They have no real wisdom from God. And I tell you, according to the Word of God, everything they have amounts to nothing, because they're missing that one thing which is the principal thing. The principal thing. Do you have it? You can only get it from the Lord and from His Word. God gives us clues about that. I'm not going to read the 28th chapter of Job, but I want you to write it down, because I want you to read it meditatively and let God speak to your heart. He tells us He searched the whole world over for finding wisdom and finally came to the conclusion only God has it to give us. Job 28. But I will read this verse, write it down, Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God doesn't say in whom are hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He wants us to be clear about this. Are hid all the treasures. If you want any treasure, wisdom and knowledge, the only place you can find it is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And there's this season, this tender season, this unfolded season to teach it. Someone may say something foolish like this. Well, when I was, I believed all that. No, you didn't believe all that. You heard all of that. But it never became internalized and became a conviction in your life, or you would still believe it as the foundation of your life. Wisdom is the preserver. Wisdom is the principal thing. Look again, please, in Proverbs chapter 4. The Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Wisdom is the promoter. Not only wisdom is the preserver, the principal thing, wisdom is the promoter. You say, I'd like to get somewhere in life. Get wisdom, and it'll take you there. She will take you there. Wisdom will take you there. The world is dying for lack of wisdom. Lives are ruined for lack of wisdom. Human wreckage lines the highways of life for lack of wisdom. The destiny of decision making is completely put aside. People do what they feel like doing in the moment because of a lack of wisdom. Wisdom only comes from the Lord. Christian parents are to teach their children wisdom and to do it in the tender years of life. Look, that cuts right through our schedules. The Bible says, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. You want to live an honorable life? Get wisdom. You want your children to live honorable lives? They must have wisdom. When thou dost embrace her, she will honor you. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. You know, a lot of people who have lots of things who don't have any grace. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Not just truth, but grace and truth. Not just grace, but grace and truth. The Bible says that wisdom will give us the grace we need. Oh, what a wonderful thing to meet a person full of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Think of that. Why? Because it's wisdom that promotes. People say, I'm trying to get ahead in life. Well, get wisdom, and wisdom will get you ahead. And you'll get ahead the right way. Honestly, decently. Be a blessing. No wonder he writes, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. He promises us, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. That means limited. You want to make a note about that? Limited. How'd you like to live an unlimited life? Not boxed in. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Oh God in heaven, I want that for my life. I want that for your life. I want that for my children, my grandchildren. And I want that for your children and your grandchildren. Is that what you want? Then we must recognize that this must be taught in the tender years of life. Let's pray together, may we?